This is me telling you this. The program is Media Network.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another program from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archive.
Radio Netherlands, Continental Talk Radio.
Media Network, a weekly survey of communication developments hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Hello, and let's see what we can cram into the next half an hour.
Good afternoon, Jonathan. This is Tony Barrett from Newton Abbott in Southwest England. I've just been listening to your 1430 programme, including Media Network, on 13700 kHz. I'd like to compliment you on your excellent coverage of the Baltic situation, particularly Lithuania. And thank you very much for playing a little bit of the Lithuanian programme theme music at the end of your broadcast, which is one of my favourites.
More on the Baltic later on. Our next caller has news about the medium wave service of the American Forces Network based in Germany.
806, good morning. 11 spoonful for AF in Munich.
Jonathan, Matthias Hecker is ringing you from Munich, Germany. For us Europeans, as an alternative to the VOA, you can have continuous coverage of the Gulf crisis through the good offices of AFN. Of this network, they call Power Radio, for instance, on 873 kHz from Frankfurt, from 1107 from Munich or Nuremberg. And they provide you not with an American Forces view of things, but it's ABC, it's AP, and I also heard CBS on there. All things considered by NPR at 2205. And now at 1610, let's say, all UTC, it's the Christian Science Monitor.
And that's some of the same material you'll hear on the World Service of the Christian Science Monitor on shortwave from Boston. The US Armed Forces Radio and Television Service has a shortwave feed from the UK, currently noted in the evenings here in Europe on 9023 kHz, upper sideband, 9023. Matthias also has another point concerning the German airline Lufthansa.
Now, I'm being told again and again that we are not supposed to bring on radios and electric equipment on airplanes. We talked about this problem once, or you did, on Media Network. What's the latest on that, if you can find that out?
The German government has said that passengers on Lufthansa flights may not take any electrical apparatus on board the aircraft. We checked, though, with the Federal Aviation Administration in Washington, D.C., Heathrow Airport in London, and Amsterdam Schiphol Airport, and all said the ban only applies to that airline for the time being. The statement from Harold Hammerlees, who's spokesman for the Dutch Ministry for Transport and Waterworks in The Hague, is typical.
Well, the point of view of the Dutch authorities, in that case it's the Dutch Civil Aviation Authority and the Dutch Air Police, that we do not encourage airline passengers to take electrical equipment with them, but we do not intend to forbid passengers to take this material with them. So we do not intend to put a ban on that equipment.
What would be your advice to passengers then who are planning to take it? How should they pack it?
Well, they should pack it in a normal way and not to sort of hide it away from any controls and checkups they might get in the airport, and do not behave suspiciously.
Heathrow Airport said that radios should be packed in your suitcase and checked in, and that radios found in hand luggage accompanying passengers departing from the UK will be confiscated and will have to be retrieved from the airport authorities on re-entry to Britain. Our survey showed that there's no international policy on all this at all, and you'd be well advised to check with the airline you're flying with before you travel and allow extra time for security checks. Frankly, you'd be crazy not to take a radio with you in these troubled times. In other news, and the decision on the future of the antenna mast for the longwave station in Ireland, Atlantic 252, has been delayed until the middle of next month. to the Gulf, and the magazine US News and World Report says that the Voice of America has got airtime from a Saudi medium-wave transmitter to broadcast its programs. Actually, that's now stopped. But last night, around 22 hours UTC, a Voice of America medium-wave transmitter in Bahrain started a five-hour-a-day English broadcast to occupied Kuwait and southern Iraq. Arabic language relays may follow shortly.
Media Network. Bubble jamming.
Actually, no jamming, we're just bubbling with info. As we cross now to Caversham, England, where Richard Meesham, manager of the weekly publication World Broadcasting Information, is on the line. Richard, the news from the Gulf is far from stable, but what about the operating times of broadcasters in the region?
Broadcasting-wise, Iraqi Radio is still managing to put out a domestic service. It's coming on the air around about 2.30 in the morning and going off at about 23.45 GMT. The frequency usage, by the way, is quite interesting. They're still managing to put out their programs on about four or five medium-wave channels from Iraq. But the only shortwave channels that are available to us are two that they're still managing to operate out of Kuwait, and that's 11990 and 6055 kilohertz, and also the two frequencies which have been shadowing the clandestine anti-Saddam Hussein radio, Voice of Free Iraq, for some time. And those frequencies are 17940 and 15600 kilohertz. By the way, Iraqi Radio is actually broadcasting a linked program whereby they link their normal general program up with the Voice of the Masses service.
So it's all one program now?
Yes, it's all one program for the majority of the time, although they have been heard to split from time to time.
For people who haven't followed it, what's the difference between Radio Baghdad and Voice of the Masses?
Well, Voice of the Masses was set up many years ago really as a sort of pan-Arab service, whereas the general program was really just their version of a local domestic service. The Iraqi external service seems to be no more. BBC Monitoring haven't heard the 21 GMT broadcast in English since well before hostilities broke out. And the only English we've heard from Iraq since the 17th of January was once on the 19th of January when we heard the 0230 broadcast in North America on 11830 kilohertz. But since then, we've heard nothing. Neither have we heard the famous Voice of Peace broadcast to the US troops in Saudi Arabia.
And what about that broadcast to Asia?
That we haven't heard either. In fact, this information is backed up by a report that we've had out of Tehran, the Iranian news agency, saying that the Persian and Kurdish services were also off the air. So it looks as though, for the time being, that there is no external broadcasting in foreign languages from Baghdad.
Well, listening to that conversation with me is Andy Sinnott of the World Radio TV Handbook. Andy, any comments?
Well, from all the evidence we have, it seems very likely that Radio Baghdad's main shortwave transmitting site is off the air. It's located at a place called Salah al-Din, out in the desert, and was commissioned in 1985. Salah al-Din is one of the world's biggest shortwave sites, with 16 500 kilowatt transmitters. All electric power has to be generated on site. It's never been operated at full capacity, and was running at about 60% of capacity prior to the start of hostilities. All of the shortwave frequencies coming out of Iraq at the moment can be accounted for by the other facilities known to be available. These include two 500 kilowatt transmitters at Babylon, much closer to Baghdad, which also have antennas beamed towards Western Europe. The disappearance of the foreign language services is another indication that they can't operate all their transmitters.
In fact, there's an additional channel to report for Radio Baghdad, because the transmitter we first noted last Thursday evening on 8350.3 kilohertz, 8350, seems to be an emergency program feed to the transmitters in Kuwait. The transmitters in Iraq are probably relaying a medium-wave signal off-air.
Precisely what's happening on 17940 and 15600 kilohertz these days is often difficult to tell. If you don't speak Arabic, be careful.
Listen to this recording our frequency bureau made yesterday at around 10 hours UTC on 17940, where you can hear Radio Baghdad, some jamming, and another station chanting something which is impossible to decipher here.
Oh,
Absolute chaos. Well, at other times, 17940 and 15600 carry a clandestine station, obviously coming from outside Iraq.
Yes, Jonathan, the Voice of Free Iraq appears to be part of the Allied psychological warfare campaign. Arabic programs from Baghdad always identify with the name of the city, like in this example.
Idaatul Jumhuriya al-Iraqiya min Baghdad.
Whereas the Voice of Free Iraq identifies like this.
Idaatul Iraq al-Hur.
Allied propaganda broadcasts like the Voice of Free Iraq have backfired recently, like on January the 7th, when it appears the station fabricated news that six Iraqi helicopters had landed in Saudi Arabia and their pilots had defected. American officials in the area monitored this story, which was then reported to journalists at a press briefing at the Pentagon. Embarrassed Pentagon officials later withdrew it. Back to the phone and Richard Meesham. Richard, it's surprising then that Iraq is bringing up two transmitters in Kuwait to fill in the time when the Voice of Free Iraq is not on the air.
Yes, it is indeed, but we've been watching this fairly carefully, and when we have listened to them, they have been in parallel with normal Iraqi radio channels, although it does seem to be a bit odd.
Well, thank you, Richard. On Monday, I managed to reach long-time listener to this programme, Jerome van der Linden, in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Jerome is there for Telecom Australia. He told me they can watch television or listen to the radio, but no one can put up a satellite dish.
Satellite dishes are a no-no. You can't bring those sort of things into Saudi Arabia.
So even though here in Europe, I mean, it's been called a sort of CNN war in the sense that CNN is giving all the coverage, are you seeing any CNN there locally?
On the very first morning, last Thursday morning, we were listening to the BBC from about 3 a.m. in the morning when I was first woken up to say, righto, the war started. I got to work only to be told then that Saudi television Channel 2 had been carrying live coverage of CNN. And sure enough, Thursday afternoon we went home and we were able to watch live coverage of CNN, although every time there was anything at all negative, the programming would be interrupted. Pictures relating to Israel or any reporting by CNN from Jerusalem was edited out effectively or was censored out. That was on the first day. And on the second day, they realised it was just far too difficult to do this live. So from the second day onwards, we've had sort of censored, recorded stuff from CNN played a couple of hours after the event.
I guess the BBC must be pretty strong on medium wave there from Oman, isn't it?
On 14.13, actually it's not. It's not as strong as it should be, and apart from that, in Riyadh we have a local station on 14.22, which carries English service, so it's only 9 kilohertz apart, and unless you've got a good set, it's not really putting in a good signal. In fact, Cyprus puts in a better signal in here than Oman does.
And what frequency?
Cyprus being 1323. Locally now, since the Americans came here in August, they established a station here in Riyadh and I believe also at Dharan, which broadcasts on FM. In the last few days, they've been carrying live relay of the American ABC network. We all started calling it the American Armed Forces, but I heard an announcer on there one day saying, no, we're not the Armed Forces Radio, we are Desert Shield Radio. That's what they call themselves, Desert Shield Radio. And they operate on 107 and 105 megahertz here in Riyadh. And in fact, I've got a little snippet on cassette that I recorded tonight, and I thought this would be perfect for you.
Hello, I'm Sergeant Patty Cunningham with you, 4 minutes away from 6 o'clock on a Monday, and that's just going to about wrap up my show. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight over at the Air Force MWR movie tent. It's the projector at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be followed by the in-laws. I'll catch you tomorrow morning starting at, oh, let's make it 6:30 in the morning. What the heck? Y'all take care until then, and taking us to the top of the hour is Harden My Heart by Quarter Flash. Y'all have yourselves a great night, and remember, keep your heads down and the volume up.
Keep your head down and the volume up, yeah. Yeah, we have Desert Shield Radio. Last Thursday, I heard the same announcer, I think it was, referring to the station as Desert Storm Radio, but they've reverted back to Desert Shield Radio.
And what about the British? Can you hear them?
British forces, no. And would you believe, that's the alarm going. So, keep your head down and the volume up. Can you hang on a sec? I'll turn the hours down. That, Jonathan, suggests that there is a Scud missile warning. So, can I ask you to terminate the conversation?
Indeed, that's where we had to stop. Just for clarity, I recorded that on Monday night.
Jonathan, the BBC has issued a revised frequency schedule for the Gulf area, and I note that they've added an extra transmitter on 9410 kHz between midnight and 0730 UTC.
Radio Netherlands, the public radio station you don't have to pay for.
Now we're off to the Baltic and news about Radio Riga International in Latvia, who seem to have news in English on 5935 kHz around 0530, 1230 and 2130 UTC, though the times are variable. As for Lithuania, here's Pete Myers to read a transcript from a Radio Vilnius broadcast on Monday night.
Lithuanian television continues broadcasting from the studio in Kaunas. The radio personnel have moved to temporary studios located elsewhere in Vilnius. It is now capable of broadcasting a single program only, so all the frequencies carry the same program round the clock. These frequencies are 666, 1107, 1134, 1557 and 9710 kHz. The frequency of 6100 kHz is now inactive, as the shortwave transmitter in Kaunas has been operating on 9710 kHz 24 hours a day since the 13th of January. The USSR Telecommunications Ministry dealt us a major blow by discontinuing all relays of the Lithuanian radio. This affects the relays of the Lithuanian radio home service via a transmitter in Balashika, near Moscow, as well as the relays of the foreign service beamed to North America via powerful shortwave transmitters in the USSR and Bulgaria. So now, we are very eager to know how you receive our broadcasts at either 2230 or 23 hours UTC on 9710 kHz shortwave, as well as on medium wave frequencies. Please let us know by letter or other means. Since the broadcasting center is occupied by the Soviet troops, please write to the Lithuanian DX Club, P.O. Box 1646, Vilnius, Lithuania. You may also use the telex number 261143, mentioning the Lithuanian DX Club.
And that telex number does work because we got through last night. We can't hear 9710 kHz, though. Neither can Tom Sundstrom, listening for us on the North American East Coast. Well, to the Americas now, and the US government's TV Marti broadcasts to Cuba have gone off the air, at least temporarily. Last week, the station suffered a rather unusual technical problem, which will keep it off the air for at least several weeks. Jeff White joins us now from Miami with the details. So, just what happened, Jeff?
Well, Jonathan, as you know, TV Marti's transmitter is located inside a helium-filled blimp, or dirigible, which hovers over a little island in the Florida Keys called Cudjo Key. The blimp stays about 10,000 feet above the ground, and it's held there by means of a plastic tether line. On Wednesday of last week, it was being lowered for maintenance, and the tether broke, sending the blimp soaring into the sky.
Was there any way of remotely controlling it once the tether broke?
Well, sort of. They sent some Air Force planes and a helicopter chasing after it. And then when they found it, they used a remote control radio, which instructed the blimp to let its helium out. At that point, it slowly came down and it eventually landed about 120 kilometers north on the west coast of the Florida mainland in Everglades National Park.
But aren't the Everglades basically just a big swamp?
Yes, and the blimp landed in one of the most inaccessible areas of swamp, in the middle of some dense mangrove trees, which are trees that grow in salt water. The blimp was trapped in the mangroves and could not be reached by either land or water. A Coast Guard helicopter did an overhead visual inspection and determined that the equipment inside the blimp was probably not badly damaged. They then sent another helicopter back and lowered someone down to the site to recover the equipment, primarily the transmitter and the antenna.
And what about the blimp itself?
They say that's a lost cause. They'll have to buy or find a new one somewhere and reinstall the equipment. That blimp, by the way, did not belong to TV Marti. It belonged to the Air Force.
Just how does that transmission system work anyway?
Well, TV Marti's studios are in Washington. The programs go from there to the blimp by means of satellite, and then the blimp transmits the signal to Cuba on Channel 13 every day from 3:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. local time, which is 0830 to 1100 UTC. And as we've mentioned several times here on Media Network, the Cuban government has jammed the signal ever since it first went on the air last year. And most reports indicate that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to see in the Havana area, which is the main target. Nevertheless, the U.S. government has persisted in broadcasting the service, whether anyone can see it or not.
So has TV Marti just shut down operations for the next few weeks until a new blimp is ready to go?
No, they're continuing to produce new programs every day since they say viewers in Cuba are able to watch the station's satellite signal if they happen to have a satellite dish.
And do many people in Cuba have satellite dishes?
No. Even Tony Navarro, head of the U.S. government's Office of Cuba Broadcasting, admits that such dishes are very rare in Cuba. But just in case, Radio Marti is telling people how to pick up the satellite transmissions of TV Marti if they happen to have dishes.
Buenas tardes, Cuba. Estás escuchando Radio Marti. Siempre contigo. 24 horas en tu compañía.
Right, well, that sounds nice and clear there in Miami, but isn't Radio Marti still being jammed in Cuba?
Yes, on medium wave. Most reports say it's very difficult to pick up the signal on 1180 kilohertz since the Cubans put their high-powered station Radio Taino on the same frequency. However, most radios sold in Cuba, like the Siboney, which we told you about a few months ago here on this program, do have shortwave reception capability, and there are signs that a sizable portion of the Cuban population listens to Radio Marti on its shortwave frequencies. Undoubtedly, more than ever now, since the AM is being jammed and the TV is off the air.
Well, finally, Jeff, have there been any reactions locally in Miami to the latest problem with the TV Marti blimp?
Not much, Jonathan. There have been a few newspaper articles, but that's about it. I think the main thing is that everyone here, as all around the world right now, is pretty preoccupied with the war in the Gulf. They're glued to their TV sets watching CNN and some of the other networks' coverage.
Well, talking of the network's coverage, Dave Alpert is a news producer for ABC in New York. He's currently in Nicosia, Cyprus, doing a lot of monitoring of the Middle Eastern situation. He's been telling me that radio teletype, taken off shortwave, is providing a useful source of opinion.
Well, I've always had an affinity for the radio teletype myself, and that is one of the most reliable sources of information. Baghdad Radio, which is one of our prime listening targets, is heavily jammed and keeps going on and off the air. Iran Radio has never been known for their balanced reporting. So we're monitoring all of the Middle Eastern news agencies, the ones that are still on the air. INA, the Iranian news agency, has not been on since I arrived in Cyprus last Friday.
I see. So you're taking them off shortwave and decoding them with RTTY operators?
Indeed, and printing them out. And also of great interest to me is the satellite reception. We're able to receive Saudi Arabia television, Iranian television, Turkish television by satellite. And most interesting to me, coming from the United States, where you only receive your local stations, we can pick up Syria, Turkey, and Lebanon over the air with an antenna on the roof of this building, which, by the way, this very office that I'm sitting in right now used to be used by the FBIS for their monitoring operation several years ago.
We were talking to Jerome van der Linden earlier in the program, and he mentioned that Saudi TV was showing extracts from CNN, but a couple of hours later and without references to Israel that we've been seeing.
That is absolutely correct. The Saudi CNN broadcasts, by the way, almost all the television stations here are showing CNN in one form or another. But the Saudi telecasts of CNN are generally delayed about 2 hours. It says so right on the bottom of the screen in English, and they have been edited.
So in terms of an information source, I mean, you'd say it's the press agencies that you're watching and also presumably the radio being the only source of reliable, balanced information.
reliable and balanced is questionable no matter who the source is. I'm finding that out fast when it comes to the Middle East.
Can you see Damascus as well?
We can see Damascus when they transmit on the ABSU feed on Arabsat.
And what about Iraqi TV?
We're too far away to pick that up off the air, and they have disappeared from their transponder on the Arabsat bird.
Turning to radio, you can also hear religious station from southern Lebanon, I believe, on 609 kilohertz.
We were listening to that just the other day, and it is a gospel evangelical station in Arabic, and it's not the Voice of Hope.
Is the medium wave band full of jamming?
The medium wave band isn't being jammed as badly as I thought, although you can hear those bubble jammers on some of Baghdad's frequencies. Shortwave is full of jamming. And the interesting thing about it is we can tune into Radio Baghdad, and if they're playing music or talking about something totally non-controversial, the reception will be crystal clear. As soon as they start a newscast or broadcast a speech by the president, the jammers come on, and it's almost totally unintelligible.
Final question, Dave. You don't have any trouble with the huge BBC transmitter site on the island there?
Well, it's on the other side of the island, and it doesn't cause me any trouble. Quite the contrary. It's a pleasure to be able to pick up BBC 24 hours a day with local quality reception.
Now, we switch to a radio station in the eastern part of Berlin.
6:30, halb sieben.
Werbung. DT64, the former GDR youth radio network, which is still on the air, placed a hoax advertisement in two city newspapers a week ago, even before the Gulf War started, saying, "Wanted, specialists for immediate deployment in crisis region." The advert offered extraordinary pay in return for unswerving motivation, expertise in tricky situations, and discretion. And for those interested, it gave a West Berlin telephone number. The authors of the ads were curious if they could attract people who used to listen to these kinds of spy number broadcasts from a military transmitter site on the outskirts of Berlin. Journalists at DT64 now say they were shocked when about 300 people called within a few hours. Well over 50% of the callers were former East German National People's Army soldiers, officers, paratroopers, and former Stasi members. And yet, DT64 never once mentioned the Gulf. Those who reacted simply assumed that this was what was being offered. Callers from the former State Security Ministry, or Stasi, were almost all from a special anti-terrorist unit. There were also explosives experts and specialists in close combat. DT64 says seven of the applicants were invited to an interview, and most of them said they were prepared to kill civilians if needed. The Berlin radio station says the exercise was designed to test morals among Germans. In contrast to the old communist Stasi agents and soldiers who seem prepared for service anywhere, German neo-Nazis have told Iraq they want to join its army and fight the US-led Allied forces in the Gulf.
In Geneva, the Red Cross Broadcasting Service has announced additional shortwave transmissions on 7210 kilohertz using a 150 kilowatt transmitter operated by the Swiss PTT at Schwarzenburg. For many years, this frequency has been used for omnidirectional broadcasts on the last Sunday of the month at 11 to 1240 UTC, repeated at 17 to 1840 UTC the following day. Starting on the 10th of February, there'll be an additional transmission on the second Sunday of each month, also repeated the following day. Actually, the Red Cross Broadcasting Service originally started at the end of World War II to broadcast the names of POWs. But Patrick Piper of the Red Cross Broadcasting Service told Media Network yesterday there are no plans for a similar operation this time round. And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.